It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott's got the old notebook out. That means we're down to business right here at the top of the program.
Do you know, I am so excited about college football starting.
I know.
Seriously, I wake up every day and I'm like, okay, Utah's going to Florida. Man, this is exciting.
Not just Utah, you are. I mean, like,
well, yeah.
To be calling the game there at the Swamp, I mean, check it off the list of cool places to go and do a game, right? I mean,
yes.
That's going to be really, really exciting.
I'm just excited because I think this is going to be an eventful year all across the state of Utah in football. And Utah has a serious opportunity and chance to go to the college football playoffs. A lot of people are talking about it. Very excited. Very, very, very excited.
I want to get, listen.
You know what else I'm excited about?
What is it?
G2G bars.
The program, as always, presented to you by the folks at G2G, our newest partnership with Good to Go. G2G bar is the refrigerated, preservative-free protein bar that will give you a boost that you
so
need.
So good.
Really good. Try all the flavors. Refrigerated. Is that for us because we're...
Refrigerated?
They are so
refrigerated?
Good. Refrigerated. We got the movies, refrigerators. So... They're in your refrigerated section. I saw them today at the. We were talking about them being at Maverick, and yeah, I'm at Maverick every day. So the G2Gs are staring me in the face in the refrigerated parts of the cold case there. Anywhere you want them, they're going to be. And ask for them if they're not at the grocery store that you use. All right, let's kick the show off here. We got something to talk about. Speaking of Utah football, speaking of people talking about the University of Utah, this is the most pub that this team has ever gotten. Is that hyperbole, Scott? This is the most attention this team has ever gotten at this point in the season.
I don't know what hyperbole means, but yes, it does.
Is it too much? Is it me overspeaking to say that this team is that right now the across the country this team is talked about more than it ever has been in the preseason?
So Ryan Day said, "You know what? An 11-2 season and winning a Rose Bowl is not really exciting at Ohio State."
Isn't that dumb?
And you kind of feel that way with Utah this year, it's a team that really is. You know, I really believe Utah faithful are like college football playoffs. So when there's that much expectation or that much hope and hyperbole early, then, you know, you kind of worry that the only thing that can happen is you can go down. That in the back of it, because that's how we are as sports fans. And you're just like, oh, man, I hope everyone stays healthy and I hope they don't have one of those games that they should win, like Coastal Carolina and BYU a few years ago. And if they just win that one game, they're in.
They're there.
You know, and so you just don't want to have that kind of year.
Well, normally a voice that we can't stand hearing is from Paul Feinbaum, the SEC, the bobblehead for the SEC.
What's his name, Paul Feinbaum?
Feinbaum. Feinbaum's on the path here talking about the Utes. He's done it before. In a very different context. But let's start off the show as we always do here with the cut. Let's jump right in here.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cut, presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org. That is going to bug me all show.
I know.
So the engineers, our fantastic engineers, Dave and Jake, came in, and we had been talking about this today. We love having a big old digital clock in these studios. It helps us stay on, right?
Yes.
Instead of looking for a miniature one or looking at my wrist all the time to try to get out.
Oh,
there it is.
There it is.
And he said, do you want to change it to red? I said, yeah, let's have red for the numbers, because the yellow hue kind of made everyone's eyes go funky.
Right.
And the red doesn't, but only one of the numbers was changed to red.
Yeah.
And Scott and I were both going, this cannot happen. We can't have this. But they did. They just changed it all to red. So there you go. Man, our engineers are great. I'm glad they read our minds today. We wanted a new digital clock in here. We got it. Paul Feinbaum. Do you remember? You're just going to speak it into existence.
Yep.
I want that red. Turn that thing to red. Oh, it happened. I want $1 million. Here's the deal. Back in 2019, Paul Feinbaum, and I can't stop saying it now. Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum. In 2019, had this to say about Utah when they were in the discussion, at least. Remember those last few weeks before they went in to play Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game? This is what we were all kind of staring at, was what are the Utes going to be able to do? And where do they stand on the national side of things? Here's what Paul Feinbaum said about them back in 2019.
Let me give you, Paul Feinbaum, the following scenarios, okay? Oklahoma beats Baylor and wins the Big 12. Utah beats Oregon and wins the Pac-12. And LSU takes care of business against Georgia. Who gets the fourth spot?
Oklahoma's getting in. Because let's be honest, the country does not want to see Utah in the college football playoff. It's Utah.
That did not go over well.
You suck.
I do like.
Paul
I do
Fine
love.
Bum.
You know what I love is that there was somebody like on the in the TV crew who was like, "What's your problem, dude?"
Yeah.
Like they're giving him flack from off the stage. It's Utah. I hate that idea. It's Utah. Well, fill in the blank with whatever state in the SEC. By the way,
yeah,
it's Mississippi. It's Alabama. It's Florida. Right, I mean, like
it's Vanderbilt, it's Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, that attitude to go from that to what we got out of Paul Feinbaum now about the University of Utah now in 2022, the tune has changed, and here we are. I don't know, is this Paul Feinbaum doesn't eat humble pie, but he's at least kind of fessing up to this about the University of Utah.
If Utah goes to Florida and wins that game, then they have a clear path. Ultimately, these schools have to get past the SEC or Ohio State in the playoffs, and I think that's really the problem. And I think you could make just a stronger case, almost a stronger case, as I should say, for Ohio State to win the national championship here against Alabama. And you're going to hear people say Ohio State's going to win, and it's really not a stretch when you look at what they have on the roster. Beyond Alabama and Ohio State, who is the next tier? And by the way, we're in the era of trying to get 12 into a playoff, we're looking for 3 and 4 right now.
Here's what's great. When that's being said, what we're talking about here is how amazing would it be? Because we talk about Utah as being that number 4. But if there really isn't a clear 3 or 4, or if Ohio State ends up beating Notre Dame early and then they kind of carve their way all the way through and they're the number 1 team in the country, why not? What if Utah's at 4 and Ohio State's at number 1 and you have a rematch from last year's Rose Bowl? That would be, to me, the way that Utah is able to be the first non-SEC team in a long time to be able to actually win in the first round of, that's not your, it's not your Alabama, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson from the ACC maybe, but your Ohio States and your Alabamas and your Clemsons, all of these teams are on there. If Utah could be that team, if they could face off against Ohio State, then that game means so much more. And from a national perspective, you go, these teams warmed up against each other last year in the dang Rose Bowl.
Yeah, so if you're reading into what Paul Feinbaum says, he says a lot here, okay? And he's still a SEC homer, but there's a couple of things.
He doesn't fully compliment Utah. It's just,
but
yeah,
he does. No, he does. I mean, this validates what we've been saying this whole entire offseason. And they don't get more national. They don't get more entrenched in college football and the epicenter of it. Paul Feinbaum, before the season started, says Utah wins its game against Florida, and it has a clear path. It's not like, well, they may be considered, you got to watch out for them. It's like they're going to get on the map, boom, immediately. They're going to validate what happened a year ago, and off they go. And that's what the significance of this game against Florida. Someone who doesn't particularly like Utah, probably doesn't know where it is, probably doesn't think much about Utah, maybe a little bit more than in the past, but this is someone about as anti-Western United States Pac-12 football as you could possibly get, makes a statement like that. Now, on the flip side of it, he says, ultimately,
there's only two teams.
You got to go through the SEC.
Yeah.
And that's not wrong. I mean, that's not wrong, and that's the Homer side of this. But here was something that I find interesting. He got outside of the SEC world and said, Ohio State might be a legitimate contender for the national championship. And I think he's doing it for this reason. I don't think he's doing it because he wants Ohio State to win. I think he's doing it to say there are two conferences in this country. There are two conferences that matter. Nothing else matters. I think Paul Feinbaum has recognized and is probably trying to propagate this
two-party system they've got going on in college football right now.
And so he's out there beating the drum for everyone in the SEC and the Big Ten, because he realizes that both of those conferences together can be rather massive. Now, on the other side of it, to your point, Utah and Ohio State, 1-4 in a college football playoff game.
That's Ute fan dream right there.
Utah essentially is the same team they were, maybe better. Okay, well, if they're healthy, they're better. Because you look at Ohio State, where Ohio State had a massive advantage was where Utah had a massive disadvantage. I mean, you're playing a running back at cornerback. You're out of corners. Like, you don't have enough guys to play in the game.
Against one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
And not only that, wide receivers.
That were insane.
And Jigma was, like, crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
And you know what? Ohio State is that team still. Utah is this team still.
And is much better in its secondary. And I guarantee you it's going to be a much different game, better game. And Utah's not going to get blown out of this game. It's not going to be like, oh, they were a token, congratulations, you made it kind of team. I don't believe that.
And then there wasn't and then Ohio State, for the week leading up, people were like, oh, it's a disappointment to them. They're treating this like Alabama did back in the Sugar Bowl. And there was always that little tinge of, well, maybe you're not even going to get the best Ohio State. By about the third quarter, we all realized, oh, no, you're getting some good Ohio State.
Would that not just be the sweetest revenge?
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, you lost the Rose Bowl, it's like this Cinderella season. It's Cam rising out of the ashes. And really, you know, he was a guy that was injured. He was passed over to start. You know, he stuck with it. He was the quarterback that was the first one ever to beat USC in the Coliseum in Los Angeles. First quarterback for Utah to win a Pac-12 championship. And they come up just a little bit short in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
And to go back the next year and to play Alabama in the college football playoffs and beat them, and then play for a national championship, you go, that is college football. That's a kid who said, I'm not going to transfer because I didn't start. This could just be an amazing story that unfolds in college football if it were to happen.
I can't believe
I'm saying it.
I know, but you spoke about it like it was. He goes, this is the one that Utah wants. This is the one that – this is going to be a great game between these two teams. Why not? Why not have this game end up be the one between these two teams?
You know, Joe Burrow, when he was at LSU, the thing that really jumped off the page with me, and you knew he was a good quarterback, was no game was too big for him. Like, every game he played in college football, he was like, this is what I was born to do. And he did it against tough SEC teams during the regular season, in the championship game, in the playoffs, and in the championship. And then he goes into the pros, and he goes to these, like, you're not supposed to win on the road, Joe Burrow, especially if you're in Cincinnati. Like, you're not supposed to win in Cincinnati, period. And you get a sense that Cam Rising's that same kind of quarterback. There was no game a year ago that was too big for Cam Rising. And that's where you go, that's where you put a lot of hope. where he showed up in the Coliseum against USC because no other quarterback at Utah since joining the Pac-12 has figured out how to beat USC in Los Angeles, except for Cam Rising. And he figured out how to beat Oregon twice and play in the Pac-12 championship and played lights out in the Rose Bowl. So I just believe that you have a quarterback, you have a team. Nothing is above what they can envision or what they believe they can play in. And that's what you have to have. Yeah, you know, years ago, Utah was like,
we're so lucky to be here. We're lucky to be in the Pac-12 championship game, and we think we're good enough this time, and they were. We're lucky to be in the Rose Bowl. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. Maybe we'll never get back again. And now all of that has totally changed. And
completely.
I think that attitude-wise, you see that change with Kyle Whittingham. Starts at the top, right? And that has changed for him. Everything has been different for this Utah team, I think, compared to all the other times that they've had really, really solid seasons. You think about the undefeated seasons, and they were nice years for what? For those G5, bowl buster. When they call you a bowl buster, they're telling you that your program is not very good otherwise.
Right.
Like, you kind of lucked into this thing. And there's always going to live a little bit of that until you can just kind of live in this space where you feel like you belong all the time. And right now, Utah feels like they are better than they were last year. They certainly are off to a good start when it comes to, you know, feeling like you have all your guys back. You have all this returning production. You have maybe the best wide receiving core you've had in a while. Your offensive line is more solid than you thought it would be, maybe. There's depth there. You've got guys who people are recognizing across the country as being, you know, nationally recognized dudes. These are top, top guys. And I don't think that you had that before. I don't think you definitely didn't have the caliber of player when they would have those. Even when Alex Smith was a quarterback, even when Brian Johnson was a quarterback, those guys.
Even when they beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, it was an accident. It was Alabama wasn't really trying hard.
Or at least that's what people said, right? That's what it feels like.
That's what people.
And so then it ends up being the perception.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit of reality there. That's the part where I go, the quote unquote special year, right? That we make fun of as a term. Ooh, it's going to be a special year. So what does a special year mean? The only thing that matters right now for Utah is they have this. I mean, we talk about this all the time with the Jazz, right? Where we go, there's this window, right? There's this window. And if you don't jump through it at that exact moment, it's going to be closed for who knows how long. After this season, the window starts to close a little bit more. You've got USC is going to be more powerful.
Oregon's going to be more powerful.
Oregon's going to be better.
Washington's going to get better.
Maybe Cam Rising is not your quarterback next season. Maybe a lot of these guys. Clark Phillips definitely wants to be moving on.
He'll be gone.
Tavion Thomas, sorry to break it to you, definitely doesn't want to be here next year.
Hope he makes it through this year. I mean, really.
I mean, that's the way it is. So that window is slightly open, and when you can legitimately tell your fan base, we are going to go to the college football playoff, and it is our goal. And it all starts at that Florida game that Paul Feinbaum says, as you heard it, if they win that game, there is a clear path.
You know what's a reality I didn't think was a reality, you know, where people say there's a moral victory, you know,
and yeah, like that loss in the Rose Bowl,
there are no moral victories, right?
That loss in the Rose Bowl was looked at like a moral victory there.
Completely. Like it changed people's perception of you, and they didn't win, they lost, but it really changed everyone. It was like, wow, they were beating Ohio State most of the game. And not only for an entire team, but for players like Clark Phillips. Like you watch, because the only bright spot in a really ugly secondary was Clark Phillips, maybe Cole Bishop. But the holes and the weaknesses were massively exposed for Utah. But Clark Phillips actually went toe-to-toe with some of the top receivers in college football and did a good job. And so he got a massive bump. But so did players like Cam Rising.
Yeah.
I mean it's just, I don't know that I've ever really seen it, and I don't really like to even use the term because it's like Coach Whittingham says, you know, you got to prove it. Like, you know, nothing's going to be given to you, and you got to prove it on the field. You got to win the games. But I'm telling you, that game, if there ever was one, was a moral victory. And it really is that. And maybe what it is that bowl game is like a continuation leading into the next season.
Right.
Maybe it's the first game. It's the start of the next season. And I have to believe that mentally the whole entire program just went up. Like it was like, we can actually do this. Like these guys, as they say, put their pants on exactly the same way we do. And you just get a sense that that Utah just broke through this barrier, this mental barrier that just kind of glass ceiling they just kind of been held down by, and they just broke through it. It's fascinating to see because you know who else it changed? It changed Paul Feinbaum. I mean, really?
But kind of. Like, not all the way where he goes, Utah's got a clear path. As and much by the as, way, there's no much, other team, yeah. by the way, besides Ohio State and Alabama, there ain't nobody else who's really going to win a national championship. And they just kind of move on from that. It's nice. Utah will get in. That's nice. There's still so many things that the SEC would love to say. Isn't that cute, right? They just love to bring that up. Oh, isn't that cute? Utah got in the college football play. Isn't that cute? They got in the Rose Bowl last year. Came up short, but man, wasn't it cute? What a fun game. You guys did great. It's like, come on. That's not where Kyle Whittingham's team is now. I want to see whatever the next step is. And I think you're right. I just don't think Cam Rising's attitude is hilarious because you just don't get the vibe that this guy would ever get rattled by anything. He's going to end up somewhere good in the NFL, I think, because he just doesn't look like him. He just doesn't – nothing rattles him. Nothing rattles a guy. So we'll see. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on the program. When we return, we've got ourselves a couple things around the corner. Specifically, a little bit of some chat about realignment as it pertains to Notre Dame, a team that BYU is going to be facing this year, a team that will likely be ahead of Utah in some of these polls and still has an opening week game against Ohio State. If Notre Dame wins that game, maybe the ceiling is – I mean, obviously the path would be clear for them too. We'll come back. We'll chat about that a little bit more right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It's Unrivaled, brought to you by G2G, the G2G bar, refrigerated, preservative-free, delicious freaking protein bar. You got to try it for yourself in the refrigerated section of your favorite convenience store. It's 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, thanks for joining the program. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, it's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
So I've been going down these YouTube rabbit holes. You ever do that? So you'll like search something and then it just feeds you just everything,
so
right?
You get sucked
into it. And so I find myself, I got to click on that. Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. And you know what the rabbit hole I've gone down now?
Is it cooking or something?
No.
What is it?
No, I wish. It's the NFL Roundup from 1980 to 1983.
But what is the NFL Roundup from back then? I thought that was only on our show.
No. So what they have is they have, it's this voice that, and it's funny because you watch like, so I'm watching 1983 and it's like right when Dan Marino's coming into play in the beginning. Right. And Dolphins' young quarterback, Dan Marino, struggles.
So it's like a news. It's
like John
like a...
Elway was getting pummeled his rookie year. I mean, and it's fascinating to watch all of this old-time football. And today, I was actually going to call you on the phone and say, today in the NFL Roundup, Bud Grant, they showed Bud Grant getting off the bus on the actual film. And I'm like, see, Bud Grant was an important individual. Alex didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
It's
not part of my era. Don't care.
I know, but it's not my era either.
You were alive.
I was in the ninth grade.
You were alive.
Were you in the ninth grade? What grade were you in 1983? You were alive, right? Oh, you were in your Batman underwear watching DuckTales.
Two or three. Yeah. No, DuckTales was much later. All right. Scott,
do you not go down YouTube rabbit holes?
No, I do. And actually, like, my kids and I watch a lot of videos together. We watch a lot of How It's Made videos. And so I get suggested all the time, hey, watch how tires are made. Hey, don't you want to see how
do they do that on YouTube?
Yes.
I have to do that.
The How It's Made stuff is fascinating. I love it. But one time I saw a video on it, like, suggested this video to me. It was like, hey, because I don't know how I initially got it, but it was this guy who was fixing this massive infection on this horse hoof. And I was like, wow, I don't own any horses. I've never known.
Now, how do you find that?
I don't know.
Did you search that?
No. Now, what am I going to do?
Horse hoof repair.
Horse hoof infection. No. And you know what? I watched two of those videos, and every, like, 3 weeks, they're all, you want to pick up and watch a little bit more of this horse infection video?
And you
video?
Do, don't you?
No, because I'm like, I don't know why I watched it the first time. Please take this off of
Doesn't
my list.
Doesn't it make you nervous, like, when they kind of shoe the horse, and they like, shave
They start
down
shaving stuff down, and you're like, you're hurting them.
It's got to hurt. Oh, it go. Just gives me
they
the heebie-jeebies.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah. All right.
Well, clearly, because the horse just stands there. I mean, the horses aren't stupid.
They're dumb, but they ain't stupid.
All right, here's the other one. I know, and again, this is a rabbit hole. I've been watching these, like, biblical.
What is going on in your world?
And so,
biblical the, what? Like Charlton Heston?
Like, well, no. Like, could Noah's Ark actually be a true thing? And they have this museum. Right. It is the exact dimensions of Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
And they go, here's the plausibility of all of these animals and the whole thing. And it's plausible. Like, you watch it and you go, it could have happened. It could have happened.
Hey, everybody, if you want to get some more conspiracy theories from Scott Mitchell about how things worked in the Bible.
They were on that ark for a year.
Yeah. I think just the smell alone will keep you off the ark. No thanks. Hey, the Davis Vision Summer LASIK sale is going on right now. Get rid of those contacts, glasses, and save $1,000 right now. Schedule it. Davis Vision also offers routine eye exams, full-service optical center as well for prescription glasses, frames, and contacts, and full line of sunglasses. DavisVisionMD.com is the website. Notre Dame still looks – okay, this is Notre Dame's problem. Rate the most – snooty program in all of college football. Like, really think about it. The ones who just think that their arc doesn't stink.
USC.
Do you think USC is the most?
Yes.
The most snooty.
Yes.
Certainly in the Pac-12, the one that Utah fans interact with. But I think that Notre Dame is unbeatable in the sense because their football stadium is like a shrine in the world of football.
Yes.
Their history is basically that they. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, the Newt Rockne, kind of the beginnings of college football. USC doesn't have that history. And so I think Notre Dame thinks that they invented people's interest in college football.
Well they did.
In a way, yes.
See, to me, Notre Dame is what – there's old money and there's new money. And old money to me is someone who – they actually don't have pretense. They're actually genuinely nice. They just can't help that – they actually did invent college football. I mean, they just can't help it. That's Notre Dame. It's where it all started.
I've been to Notre Dame Stadium.
Or became relevant.
I've been to Notre Dame Stadium twice. And the amount of, like, people are super nice. And the tailgate scene in the parking lot is actually really fun. And it's a cool atmosphere. Obviously, when you go in, you see Touchdown Jesus. Everything's really fun. The fans absolutely talk to you like, aren't you so excited that you're here to experience this?
But they
are amazing, aren't we?
No, they appreciate
it. They really know it. They
a
really,
USC team, even when they see when USC stinks, no one's around. They're like, it's above us to actually come.
When Notre
and
Dame
see this
stinks, people are all still there.
Right,
right.
So
can we say that Notre Dame is the most?
Did you want me to say
our that, football that, poo doesn't stink? think that they're better than everybody else. They're at the top of the snooty.
They're. Notre Dame is right up there, 1A, as the snootiest program in the country.
And I think there are teams like Ohio State. I think Alabama's is in that grouping.
When you're at Ohio State and you go, we're 11-2 and winning the Rose Bowl is unacceptable.
Not a big deal.
That's snooty.
Yeah. So I think that you have tiers of snootiness and tiers of being better than everybody else. And Notre Dame is probably at the top of that list. Notre Dame AD Jack Swarbrick says, our independence has never been more valuable than it is right now. Independence for us is much more valuable than the things that we're talking about. I think what he's
It's not just them. It's everyone in the Big Ten, and it's everyone in the Pac-12 right now.
They know how valuable they are. But when he says
Notre
valuable,
Dame is saving everyone right now, being independent.
Because as soon as they join,
as soon as they join one of those power conferences, life is over.
Yeah, but I will tell you from a money standpoint, Notre Dame's actual monetary dollar figure that they could get out of joining a Big Ten conference, we're talking about the same type of money that USC left the Pac-12 for, which is going to be in the $100 million range, right? Notre Dame doesn't get anywhere near that right now, by the way. With their NBC contract and with the ACC bump that they get in the non-football sports, they likely clear around at the top end what the Pac-12 teams are making, around $30 million a year. $30 million a year and $100 million a year, you don't have to be a student at Notre Dame to figure out that that disparity there actually means that you would be more valuable and technically would be making more money for your program and your institution if you were to join the Big Ten. But Notre Dame says we're more valuable as an independent, and I think that they value the independents differently than others. I think BYU would pretended to say the things about we love being in this position of independence, and they knew that was not really the case.
You know,
Notre Dame really believes it.
They do. They absolutely do, and I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to agree with you 100%. Notre Dame is the most snobby school in the entire country.
This sort of solidifies it, right?
And the reason, is to your point. This is a program that says we can't be in a conference because we're Notre Dame. We're a national program. Everybody gets an opportunity wherever you live. If you live in the Southeast, if you live in the Rust Belt, you live in the Northeast, you live in the West, Notre Dame is your program. It's a national program. It's the only program in the country that is a national program, and they really are. I mean, they really, what they're saying is actually true, and it would be like, it would diminish the brand. It would deny so many people in the country that love Notre Dame the opportunity of actually rooting for and being Notre Dame fans if Notre Dame was in a conference. It's the same thing why Washington, D.C. is not in a state. It's its own entity. It's the nation's capital. It represents all the people. And if it was in a state, then there would be favoritism to that state. It has to be in its own district. There's no way that Notre Dame will ever join a conference. I really, really, really doubt Notre Dame will ever join the conference.
I just can't believe, and maybe it's because it doesn't matter that they get $30 or $40 million a year from
the
deal.
They don't care about the money
because their endowment's huge.
Don't care about
right. They're the money that they could get from their alumni base is probably just massive, right? And maybe for teams like that, it doesn't matter. And maybe they value the ability to be able to call all the shots for themselves and be on an island and literally not care. And still, because listen, if Notre Dame goes undefeated any season, they're always going to be in the college football playoff.
So think of BYU. Okay, BYU was independent, right? And they would schedule teams. But there were teams that didn't necessarily want to play BYU.
Definitely.
Right?
Yep.
One of them was Notre Dame.
Yes.
Okay. Any team in the country, it would be an honor and a privilege if we had the opportunity of playing Notre Dame.
It is funny when you see schools that play Notre Dame.
USC wanted to play Notre Dame every year. Those players, when we talked to them at Pac-12 Media Day, they were like,
"They love it.
We love this." Stanford wants to play Notre Dame. You think of Miami when it was the convicts and the Catholics,
yep.
and they wanted that game. Penn State wanted a game. Michigan, all of these big time programs, they want to play Notre Dame, and Notre Dame doesn't have to be in a conference. And quite frankly, they said, why would we even want to be in a conference? You look at where college football is and the first ranking that's come out. Notre Dame is always overrated, but they're always respected, and they're always in the conversation. Haven't won a national championship for whatever, but they're always going to be a program that's going to be sitting there in the top 12 in the country pretty much every year, even if they stink. And it's because they are the Washington, D.C. of college football. They are that independent team, and they may even feel like it's our obligation to college football and the integrity of it, the history of it, to actually stay independent.
And they're doing it. And here's the thing, too. Here's what Swarbrick said. He goes, no other school has ever played in Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York in the same year. We've done it 9 times. We play in more NFL stadiums than anybody else. We play in California every year. We play in New York or somewhere close to that every year. We're able to have flexibility to continue to that next level from a national scheduling standpoint. We play in Vegas this year against BYU. We open next year in Ireland. We play in Green Bay in 2026. By the way, playing in Green Bay, why is that a draw?
Are you kidding?
No, come. I know who's there.
No.
Jeremy's the Packers are in Green Bay. I know. I'm saying
it's Lambeau Field. There is nothing more sacred and holy in the NFL than Lambeau Field.
Watching college football
having
teams.
Notre Dame come to Lambeau Field is about as football as there ever was.
No, that's like saying no. It's not.
Yes, it is.
I don't give two craps about Notre Dame playing at Lambeau Field. It isn't them playing in Ireland next year is not interesting.
You're the only person around that feels that way.
I know.
I don't care for Notre Dame.
Why do I care about Green Bay?
I get why they would want to play
Green Bay Packers
in Lambeau Field.
Hold on, I'm checking my sources. Green Bay still plays in Green Bay. Yes.
Well, of course they do.
Lambeau is.
It's not Green. It's Lambeau Field. It's the history. It's like Lambeau Field. Currently Lambeau. And
I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, I would only
what is the Super Bowl trophy? It's the Vince Lombardi trophy. Yeah. He played in Green Bay in Lambeau Field.
Okay.
He is the foundation of the NFL in its modern day.
Let me tell
you. Notre Dame at Lambeau Field is about as iconic as you could possibly get. Tickets are probably more than a UCF event, UFC or whatever, KFC. Whatever event
Central
there is.
Florida event. Oh, let me just tell you right now, there are 10 other stadiums in the NFL that I'd rather go see a game in before I'd go to Lambeau.
No, you don't get it.
Yes, I do.
You don't get it.
Yes, I want to go.
You don't get it.
The Bengals have a new stadium.
You do not get it.
Give me SoFi. Give me Allegiant.
No.
Take me up to Seattle for another game because I love that place.
No.
Jerry World's on that list before it. I'm telling you, you can't tell me. I'd rather go to Soldier Field before they blow that thing up. I'd rather go see a game at the old in New York, aka New Jersey.
There's only one stadium in the NFL in its original form. One, Lambeau Field. Where else
Why
is there?
Why is that special to me? That the toilets are probably still troughs. You get to experience that, guys. Awesome.
Have you ever gone? This is why you can't. This is what's wrong with young people in the world today.
I'm telling you.
You can't appreciate.
Lambeau's not that cool.
You can't.
I said it.
You can't appreciate how amazing the Roman Colosseum is until you've been there. And it's in shambles. You can play anything in the Roman Colosseum.
I'd rather see the Roman Colosseum before the Lambeau Field.
It is the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It is.
Oh,
it's football history. Two significant parts of football, college and professional football, clashing at the same moment. Who would not want to see that? You got to be
two
crazy.
Two of the most overrated places. They're perfect for each other. Hey, listen, they're perfect for each other, Scott. Overrated Notre Dame goes to overrated Lambeau Field.
That's wrong.
I'm cussing on the air. This is sacrilege.
No, you're going to drive home and get struck by lightning. I'm just telling you. That is so sacrilegious right there.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not being tongue-in-cheek about this. I'm not trying to get your attention. I'm telling you right now, going to a game at Lambeau Field does not interest me that much.
Yeah, and you're wrong. I'm just telling you right now, you're wrong.
How can I be wrong about it not being interesting to me? It doesn't interest me.
You're the guy that likes college football. I just don't get how you would
Again,
not appreciate
then why
this.
Why would Lambeau Field interest me at all with Notre Dame? You're the guy who's supposed to love college football. You should love to see Notre Dame play there at Lambeau Field, a non-college football stadium.
Yeah, you just don't appreciate history.
Okay. Scott just lost a ton of respect for me. Don't care. All right, here we go. Let's take a break. Can we take a break here? We're going to come back.
You stink, and I don't
I don't care. Look, Packers fans out there, fine. I'm sure you guys are all loving it, and you guys can't believe it. The rest of the NFL world is like, yeah, I see the historical significance of it. No, thanks. I'd rather go take in a game in Miami. I'd rather go take in a game somewhere else.
No.
Not in Wisconsin.
No.
I've been to Camp Randall. I thought that was kind of fun. But guess what? Lambeau Field, not interested.
Camp Randall's pretty special.
All right, we'll take the break. We got What Are the Odds around the corner. Stay right here with us when Rival continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and... What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby! You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I've got a list of NFL stadiums for Scott of Fort, places I'd rather be instead of Lambeau Field. The Astrodome still around? What do they do in the Astrodome?
Okay, 1970,
is that where circuses are?
Okay, 1978, like the Astrodome was pretty amazing. Today, it's not amazing. I actually played in the Astrodome.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a surreal thing when you're a kid, you know, growing up.
And then
all of a sudden you're actually out there playing on the field.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty. I mean, you talk about a trough. It's like, yeah.
I think honestly, like in terms of atmospheres and things like that, I'm sure it's great. I know I've been to football games. I know what the history is there.
Do you know it was a sucky stadium but was actually kind of iconic and fun to play in? Was the Three Rivers Pittsburgh
Steelers. Oh, Pittsburgh, yeah.
Heinz Field is actually a nice field.
It's no longer Heinz Field, Scott.
Oh. What is it? Procter & Gamble?
No. Hold on. Let me see here.
Oh, it's that one really weird name.
Heinz Field new name is Acrisure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Heinz Field to me.
Acrisure Stadium. I mean, for a long time I still know people who call Vivint Arena the Delta Center.
Yeah.
There's a sign down by at the courthouse stop on tracks that has an illuminated sign that says Delta Center still. Like, and I want to steal that thing.
The other part of it is the Delta Center was when the Jazz were going to championships.
Yeah.
So you tied into that. Kind of like, you know, Lambeau Field is tied into Vince Lombardi and the great Green Bay Packers and all that stuff.
I'm just telling you.
It's the same
for
field.
For me personally, Lambeau Field does not mean anything. Going to see a game at Lambeau Field, like it's not on the bucket list.
So I'm
and you
kinda,
call I'm, me for wrong for saying that, but you know what?
I'm kind of disappointed in you. I really am. I expected more. I really did. I thought I expected more out of you. I thought you could appreciate history and greatness, but no. You're just selling out for SoFi. You're selling out for big billion-dollar stadiums.
No, it's give me the better weather and give me,
That's what's great. It's not the better weather.
Let me ask you this. Has there ever been a Super Bowl played at Lambeau Stadium with your precious Lombardi trophy that they hoist?
Technically, yes. I mean, back when they had championship games in the NFL before the merger.
Was it called the Super Bowl Stadium? Or was it called the Super Bowl?
No.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
NFL Championship.
All right. I know weather's the reason, Jeremy.
Who wants to play a Super Bowl in Green Bay? Nobody.
They did the Seahawks. Yeah. They won their Super Bowl in New York when it was
that was a mistake,
cold.
Too.
That's really dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me the old, what's it? I don't want to keep saying stuff. I'm digging a hole here because I think a lot of people don't agree with me, but it's fine. I'm not that into Lambeau. Let me see here, Scott. Next up on the show is What Are the Odds? We give you a scenario, you give us the chance. 0 to 100% that thing will or will not happen. Brought to you by the folks at TryDayTrading.com. TryDayTrading.com, you too can become a day trader yourself. Let them train you. Let the experts show you how to do it. TryDayTrading.com. Dow Jones up 500 points today. S&P 500 up 87 points. And the NASDAQ up 360 points. So there you go. Nice day on Wall Street there. As we're kind of watching some inflation slow down a little bit. Scott, what are the odds that the NFL ends up suspending Deshaun Watson for a full year? Roger Goodell's looking for that. I think he wants to bring some credibility to the league. He does not feel like six games does it, and I think a lot of people agree with him. Deshaun Watson sitting out for more than the six games and up to a full year.
This is an easy one to decide. 66% Ray Nitschke from the Green Bay Packers who played in Lambeau Field.
Percent. See in the ice bowl?
That's my choice.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a – I think it's likely – I hope it. Maybe it's just me hoping. But I'm going to give it a John Taylor, 82%.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't mind taking in a ball game at the old Candlestick Park. Remember that old place? It was terrible. Everybody hated that place.
It was an awful play. Iconic, but awful. What are the odds Kevin Durant gets traded this offseason? This offseason.
You know what? I think that at this point, you've got an ownership group that is standing pat, right? And they're going, or their owner's saying, nah, man, we're going to support our head coach and our GM, basically saying publicly that they're not the problem. You are, KD. But there's some real problem with that. You do not want to give in to a guy like this and just give him whatever he wants if you're not going to get what you want in return. You don't just deal him because of the toxicity. You've got to make it worth your team's while. I don't think it happens. I think that they keep him on the team and they punish him for being I just don't think there's going to be a deal good enough. They're going to be asking for the moon for this guy. I mean, the Jazz are asking for the moon for everybody else. Kevin Durant should be getting 15 first-round picks if these other guys are getting the ones they are.
Boy, but if you're a team that's close, wouldn't you just love to have a Kevin Durant? I think
he'd
would.
Take you. He'd finish it off for you.
So what do you think?
I'm going to go that he gets traded this offseason. I'm going to say it's a Kevin Durant. What is he, 7? No.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Let me go. I'll go with John Elway, 7% chance. I'm going to say it's low.
I'm going to say it's a 15% Bart Starr, Green Bay Packers, who played at Lambeau Field, legend percent.
Mm.
That's what I'm going to say.
Good for you.
Yep.
You love Brett Favre. Did you ever win at Lambeau?
No, I didn't say
What's
Brett
your
Favre.
Record
I said
at,
Bart
oh, sorry.
Starr.
What's your record at Lambeau, Scott?
Never won.
Oh, for what, 6?
Something like that.
Okay. And you'd still keep going back for more, huh?
Every time. Yep.
I thought maybe that would do it. Scott, you never won at Lambeau, did you? You're like, don't care. I'm going back for more.
I get a question frequently. What was your favorite place to play in the NFL? 100% Lambeau Field. Like it was just, yeah, it's a cool place.
Not the Pontiac Silverdome?
No. That would not be my least favorite, but it's close.
Wow.
It's second or third.
All right.
Least favorite is Philadelphia.
All right. Ugh. Oh, yeah. Everybody can agree. Yeah, you notice I didn't mention Philadelphia.
Veterans Stadium.
Let's lock it.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes. Yes.
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
So. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by G2G Bars, the protein bar that is preservative-free, refrigerated because it is so dang good. Pick one up today wherever those refrigerated protein bars are found, and if you can't find them at your local grocer, ask for it. All Associated Foods, the local Smith's by me has one, Costco, all of it. G2G, proud new sponsors of Unrivaled. Glad to have them on board. Glad to have you on board here with us. Scott, how are you feeling, buddy? We're plugging along here, man.
So later on in the show,
yeah,
we're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
Right? And how he's like this multiple position player professional.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do. I'm going to like set my sights higher. I'm going to try to be better. And I think I want to be on the radio and TV at the same time.
Oh, at the same time?
The same time.
All right.
Yeah. Because on our station, we have
a lot of people in the building.
We have a DJ. A DJ is the Shohei Ohtani of the KSL Sports Zone.
DJ does all of it, man.
Yeah.
JJ does it, too. He comes on, but he doesn't do the radio full time.
Well, he does the radio. He's like that pitcher that comes in. Like when you're down by about 20 runs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he throws a 65-mile-an-hour fastball.
Still strikes people out.
I'd like to see JJ throw. I want to see his motion. I can tell you. I'll watch him for a minute.
Okay.
See if he's athlete.
He was the quarterback in his high school team.
Yep.
Joining us right now on the program to start off the hour is Mitch Harper from KSLSports.com. We're going to jump in right there with the cut at the top of the hour.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org, proud sponsors of the cut. Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com, joining us on the program. Host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio every weekend. Mitch, what are all these tweets that these players sent out? Basically a copy-paste version of a tweet that went out that said, Cougar Nation, we have huge NIL news dropping this week that involves our whole team. We will need your support. What on earth are they talking about? Are we going to see one of these deals where multiple thousands of dollars are going to be in the pocket of across the whole team, or what's going on?
Yeah, so they just announced moments ago that, they've launched. They've launched the Provo NIL Club, which will be a message board and way for fans to directly interact with the players. Baylor did this as well. They called it a Waco NIL Club. That's what it is. It's just the players basically self-starting a platform that can basically be straight to consumer. The consumer can have direct access to the players, and they can pay a monthly fee, whatever that may be, from $5, $10, $100, whatever they want, to donate to the players each and every month. And then the players that are part of that website, the players will get an equal share of that revenue with NIL.
Well, that's not nearly as big as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, that could be the coolest thing in the world. Are you kidding?
Well, I mean, you could book them for birthday parties, Mitch?
It's not the Built Bar. It's not going to be anything groundbreaking. It's just trying to build some momentum, it seemed like, from the players' social media. Like I said, some other schools did it too. Baylor did. I think there was one that I'm drawing a blank. But, yeah, it was they used the eyeball emojis a little bit too loose. They got to be very selective with those eyeball emojis.
See, I think you say you're some high school kid or younger, and like you have a hero, and you go, you can interact with them, ask them questions, get mentored. I see a lot of potential in this.
Book them for your birthday party,
and it doesn't matter, set a list of pricing. Like, if you want to send me a text, it's 25 cents. If you want to like mentor me, it's like, $200.
It's gonna be a little bit more. Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Well,
but
I'm interested.
I think it's really cool.
I really just want to see. I think because SMU announced, I think it's gonna be 36 grand per player per scholarship guy that they announced that they were going to be doing. We were kind of doing the math on this thing, and you're looking at like $2.5 or $3 million, which is not that insane to think that teams are going to be throwing that out there, considering that. You've got people talking about eight figures coming in from donors to be able to make seven figure deals for big names. And so I think that, I don't know, to me, you've got the Built Bar deal. I think BYU's been really, really good about being on the ground floor of being smart about it, not doing it and getting in trouble with it. But still bringing that awareness and being a part of it. And if it makes it more interesting for guys to show up at BYU, Mitch, that's the only thing that matters.
That's true. And I think that, BYU, I think, has a little bit of a, they don't want to give any sort of power to, potentially boosters. They don't want to have like an Auburn situation where, boosters feel like they have the true control of the program. But you need to have an NIL collective. And, Tom Holmo, when I talked to him about this, it was actually back at the Big 12 spring meetings in June. And he even told me that, there's a possibility BYU will have an NIL collective emerge. So it's on their radar. It's something that they have to form. I mean, they have the Built for Life program where they give the tools for the players here at the school to, create NIL deals and enhance their brand. But they need to have, an overall collective, because that's where it's shifted to is collectives are running the operation when it comes to NIL and landing guys and having basically salaries for these guys to have a livable wage and want to be at these individual schools.
Okay, I need your opinion on something, Mitch. Very, very important opinion. Do you think that Notre Dame playing at Lambeau Field would be an iconic event in college football?
No, I,
yeah!
I don't.
You've been Guess listening what? To the show, and you're an Alex Carey Homer. Do you know what Lambeau Field is? You're young.
An overrated program and an overrated stadium. Thank you, Mitch. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Scott, I mean, the last college football game that was played there, was it on your radar? Wisconsin LSU? No, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's Wisconsin and LSU. Give me some good programs.
LSU's won a national title 3 years ago. Notre Dame hasn't won anything in 34
LSU
years.
Now, I'll bet locally that thing this was off
going,
the charts.
This is going so well for me right now.
Do I have to say, so what if BYU played Notre Dame at Lambeau Field? Is that a better?
It would be because that's what we do. We cover games like this. But like to
Notre Dame, that's such a disingenuous answer.
Yes, it is. Jack Swarbrick goes, we're playing in Ireland. I go, don't care. We're playing at Lambeau. Don't care. He goes, we play in New York and Chicago every year. It was basically just him talking about how big of a deal they are, Mitch. And they may be. Look, the value that they have.
I don't like Notre Dame. Okay, I don't like them at all. I don't like them at all. But they are Notre Dame. They just are. They can do what they want. Yeah. I think it's a big deal.
Well, I think when Notre Dame, whenever they play, they're always going to be network TV. You know, I think in that regard, it's big. And Notre Dame, they sell out anywhere. I mean, they can play any game anywhere, and it's going to be a big event. But I just think it's, you know, honestly, I'd rather see it in South Bend or see a game in Provo, or, you know, I think I'd rather see games on campus. The NFL venues are cool for the players, but really, I think the fan experience, the game days, that kind of gets taken away when you get to those sterilized NFL environments.
Sterilized?
Yeah.
Lambeau Field, there's nothing sterile in Lambeau Field.
I know, because you have to pee in a trough still.
Look, I get it, but it's just, I'd rather... I mean, and ultimately, I'd rather see it on a campus rather yes. than an NFL stadium.
Yeah. Well, Green Bay, Wisconsin's like a college town.
You can't just
This is not corporate America.
You cannot just. Would you want to go
to Lambeau Field just in general to watch a game, or are you? Or is it?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see a game. Sure. I mean, I'm a guy that's anytime I'm on any sort of vacation, I'll go pull up to an empty stadium just to walk around and kind of see it. So I love going to stadiums, but yeah, I mean, ultimately though, I'd rather see college football games played on campus.
Right. All right, Mitch, let's get to some BYU talk here. It was their picture day today. Always fun. You walk around, you kind of get to chat with some of the players while they're taking pictures of different stations and inside the indoor practice facility and looking sharp in their gear. Coming out of a picture day, that's one thing. But your piece on Kingsley Suamataia, you think about your Blake Freelands and your Clark Barringtons, guys who are on the national radar already when it comes to like All-American honors, things like that. But Kingsley Suamataia could be a name that could eclipse these guys and maybe even be the best lineman at the end of this season for BYU.
Yeah, I think Kingsley, you know, is going to have a huge impact. I mean, when BYU got him last October, November, whenever it was, I mean, I felt like, you know, it was you're getting the next John Tate. I mean, that's the type of potential that a guy like Kingsley has, and you're going to see him slide in at the right tackle spot this year, and he's going to look like a next level talent in his first full year of playing college football. He's that good. I mean, and he's going to beat out, you know, guys like a Campbell Barrington, who was a freshman All-American last year at right tackle. It's not like BYU has no options at tackle. Kingsley's competing for the job still, but you know, he's going to be that starting right tackle. So yeah, he's got a ton of talent, and just his testing numbers over the summer. I mean, they were testing things like speed and different type of combine testing, and he clocked in one test to measure speed, and it was like coming in around 20 miles per hour. And I can't remember the exact. I have to go check my notes on what the exact testing was, but for a guy that's 6'6", 325 pounds. His ability to move at that size is just out of this world. And I think that's why when you hear, you know, guys like Aaron Roderick talk about that athleticism that he has, I mean, he's just a kind of a freak. And then you pair him up with Blake Freeland and then Connor Pay at center. It's a talented offensive line. It's probably the best O-line BYU's had, I think, in a quarter century, honestly. It's a really good group.
With a veteran team, a lot of experience coming back, one of the concerns is – burning guys out in camp, you know, it's because it's a long grind. What types of things are the coaches doing to kind of mitigate that and make sure that that doesn't happen?
Yeah, Aaron Roderick said earlier this week that they're you know giving some guys some days off. I talked with Puka Nacua this week, and he even said that they want to have him ready for the games. And Puka's a guy that's he seems very optimistic about his potential in this offense because this has been his first full year of being healthy, and they want to make sure that he maintains that high level of health because he's always dealt with some sort of nagging injury. He had a hamstring last year, dealt with hamstring at Washington, even dealt with COVID 2 years ago up in Montlake. But, if Puka can stay healthy, a lot of these guys that are the key contributors to, the guys that are going to give you the chance to have a 10-win season, they got to make sure to have those guys in games. And I think that there's enough proven commodities on this BYU team where they can afford to have that luxury. Today Kalani Sitake said it, that they are farther ahead than they've ever been, and he said it's as a byproduct, it's maybe hurt the chances of the players really making any sort of impact, but because of how far ahead things are moving along in camp. So I think they have that luxury because of all the experience that they can maybe afford to give a Puka a day off.
Mitch Harper joining us on Unrivaled as we chat a little bit about where BYU's at here in camp. I think it's refreshing to hear that, one, you have enough leadership and enough of these guys who are set in the places where they need to be to say, hey, take a day off or two. We do not need – this is going to be a long grind. They don't have a bye until those last two games of before their last two games. They get a bye right before Utah Tech, just in time, Mitch. So it just is so hard to stay healthy in that type of an atmosphere. What else do they try to do to make sure that they can get there to the end of the marathon, which, by the time they were playing UAB last year, obviously it was an issue.
Well, I think also, too, it's not as, of an intense camp. I think that, BYU, they practice hard, sure. But it's not the old school two-a-days where, they're practicing till they're spitting up blood or something. I mean, it's
trying
it's
to weed
like,
guys out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's none of that. That's where I think a lot of there's not a and they don't have to instill necessarily an identity of toughness. You look at BYU is going to be in the Big 12 conference next year, and a program like Oklahoma, Brent Venables steps in for Lincoln Riley, and they're trying to they're doing two-a-days. They're trying to instill a toughness identity. BYU's already kind of got a brand that they're going to be a tough football team. They're going to be a tough out whenever you play them. So you've got that already going for you. You've got a lot of experienced leadership. So it allows for where you don't necessarily coast, but you're kind of in a spot where you know who you are. And, that's where I think BYU's in a nice spot going into the season is that they're not going to try and reinvent the wheel. It's just kind of taking their schemes to an even higher level as far as execution goes when they face some of these really, top-notch teams that they're going to face this year. And when you look at the preseason coaches poll and you got teams like Notre Dame at 5 and Baylor at 10 and BYU's going to face some difficult challenges ahead of the season, I think that plays a part not overwhelming these guys in camp because they've got some battles coming up in that first half of the season.
Who stood out to you so far? What have you heard that's really positive?
Well, I think, obviously Jaren Hall stood out. I mean, that's an easy answer. But I think some guys that have came across that I think are going to be big contributors for BYU, a linebacker to keep an eye on that's going to probably – no one's going to know much about him, but he's going to contribute, I think, in the first couple weeks is Kavika Gagne. You look at that linebacker spot, you got Peyton Wilgar, you got Keenan Peely. They come back from injury. Max Tooley's back as well. Pepe Tanavasi, he's going to be in that Mike linebacker spot. But a guy that's kind of in that flash linebacker, think about a Zane Anderson a few years ago who's competing with the Kansas City Chiefs. Kavika Gagne kind of fills that role. Former walk-on out of Stansbury Park, dealt with an ACL last year. He's going to be some, out of left field name that you'll probably see a lot of in the first couple weeks. They'll utilize him because we know with BYU's defense, they rotate guys. Kavika Gagne, number 27, is a name to keep an eye on. I think on the offensive side, at tight end, you look at, Isaac Rex, the fact that he's practicing and doing more than expected, I think bodes well for BYU because having him at full strength paired up with Dallin Holker, that's a really good 1-2 punch at tight end to have. So I think that's a positive development, too, for BYU, having Isaac Rex doing more than expected at this point of camp.
Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com. You can read his byline there, the latest piece with Kingsley Suamataia on there, and you can read about how good this guy really could be for BYU. So, Mitch, thanks for checking in. Give us a little bit of a peek into camp, as much as we can kind of get with BYU. So we'll have you on the program coming up here soon again.
Hey, you bet, guys. No problem. Take care.
On the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
No one
cares.
Notre
Dame Fighting Irish.
No one cares.
Took on Rutgers.
You know what? Mitch burned you.
What was I know, he's on my list.
Yes,
he's on my list. I thought if anyone would support.
I just loved it. He goes, Were you super interested in
that's
in
my
Wisconsin?
That's my Mitch voice, right? I want to see him on campus.
He told you he's a student of the game, but he's like me where it's like, I'm not interested in Notre Dame.
You guys are so
Dame.
Cool. You're so passe.
You gotta grow with the times, Scott. All right.
Remember your elders.
Let's take the break here.
Others. Unrivaled presents Sucks to Be You.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by the good folks at G2G Bar. G2G stands for good to go. You have one of these, you're good to go the rest of the day. Or you can have another one later. Boom, there you go. Made in small batches, local company, they are doing it right. G2G Bar, the preservative-free refrigerated protein bar. Proud sponsors now of Unrivaled. Scott, let's do some Pink Floyd tickets. Should we do it? Should we jump in? Might as well. I feel like doing it now, Jer. Should we wait? Yeah, he says, okay, let's do it now. All right. Caller number 12 right now. Australian Pink Floyd coming to USANA Amphitheater on August 29th. Tickets are available at livenation.com. Be caller number 12 right now. 801-575-5967. Phone number changed since we moved over to broadcast house. So here we go. 801-575-5967. You get a pair of tickets to Australian Pink Floyd, one of the big shows that comes to USANA Amphitheater every year. 801-575-5967. You can win those tickets to Australian Pink Floyd, or just go over to livenation.com and get yourself some tickets there as well. Let's jump in here, Scott, to our Sucks to Be You segment.
Okay, let's do that.
Sucks to Be You. Do you want to start, or do you want me to?
I'll start. I'm more than happy to start with this. It sucks to be anyone associated with the Washington Commandos. They're just, it's like.
Maybe because you keep calling them the Commandos, bro.
I do that facetiously. I do that as a total slap in the face. Like,
I saw an old picture of Sean McVay the other day, and he had his, when he was on, because he was on the staff at, the Redskins when they were the Redskins.
Right. Obviously.
And, and I was like, it like felt weird to see the Redskins logo on his stuff because you like
right.
We've changed everything, and then you go, oh, you can't have that. You can't have that Redskins logo on there. And I just thought, this team is a mess. Not just because of that, but everything else. Your owner stinks. You've got inside, I mean, everything, top to bottom. This is, by the way, the Washington Commanders are one of the most valuable franchises in the entire world.
It's a proud organization. I mean, they've won so many Super Bowls. They're one of those cornerstone pieces of the NFL, the Washington Redskins. And they've literally just run that whole program into the ground. It's embarrassing. The coaches are getting, you know, how do you fire a coach right before a season starts? It's beyond me. And then just all the infighting with the coaches. Yeah. Carson Wentz is now the starting quarterback, and people are wincing at his inability to actually, I guess, throw the ball effectively. It's just an absolute recipe for disaster. It's just so sad. And in the midst of all that, Alex Smith found a way to kind of
sort of cobble
find
together
peace
something.
And restore his
that guy shows
life
up.
And career and kind of end things, you know. And then they don't have the courage to say, yeah, we don't, you know, you could get hurt. We don't want to be responsible for that.
What's really crazy about that whole situation and about just the fan base is insane too. Like that's when you say organization, that's a proud fan base. But yeah. You're going to start losing people, right? Not just because you're losing, but because your owner doesn't seem like he's putting the team first. Seems like he just puts himself first. It's a bad deal. Sucks to be Live Tour right now. I thought that they were going to be actually, and obviously it's not over, but the PGA Tour is trying to make sure that all the guys who are playing on the Live Tour are not eligible to win the FedEx Cup, which of course is an extra $13 million, or maybe it's $13.5 million now. You can't be on that points. You can't accrue those points in the FedEx Cup. And the Live Tour players are like, you're just limiting our ability to be able to make money. I think that other courts are going to see differently when these things start to come forward. So the antitrust lawsuits are going to be going on, I think, are going to get worse and worse. And I think you're going to see the Live Tour start to maybe rattle off a couple wins here and there because, you know, the PGA Tour, it operates in a very different way compared to other sports leagues out there.
I think these players were like, we don't care what your decision is, PGA Tour, or the lawsuit, the judge, because ultimately it's going to come down to, did the PGA Tour inhibit their ability to actually monetize themselves? You know, were they limiting, right? Antitrust. And so the players are like, look, here's the deal. You're going to deny us an ability to play in the FedEx Cup, which we qualified for. And I see another lawsuit coming from these players saying, you know, again, you inhibited that ability to actually do this. So the players made the move knowing that the PGA Tour was actually going to go and say, you know, no, thank you. And then they're like, fine, we'll go to court over this. We'll get a judgment quickly because we have to get a quick judgment on this. And the judge probably just punted it down the road knowing that it'll probably get overturned, but didn't want to be the person to make that decision.
Had a buddy on tour.
Who knows?
Whatever it is.
But I think ultimately these players on the Live Tour are going to win out. I really do.
It's interesting because this is the thing that they knew, that they were going to have the leverage of being able to just compete with the PGA Tour, and that would make the tour nervous. You've already seen the tour up its dollar amounts that they're paying out to guys, their commitment to paying out guys in these tournaments. You've seen people who are like arguing about this, and I know that they've been made out to be the bad guys to go to the Live Tour. The amount of money they're throwing at these dudes, I don't know anybody who suddenly stands at the PGA Tour and goes, "No, you guys are a beacon and a source of good for the world." I think people look at the PGA Tour and go, you're another organization that's trying to make money. I know you're a 501c or whatever.
Regardless of where the money comes from, it shouldn't matter, right? And it's debatable where it comes from. Who knows if it does or it doesn't, right? It's speculation at this point. The PGA Tour is not allowing these players the right to go out and maximize their income. They're saying no. You will be. And I believe that in a court of law it will hold up. So yeah, it sucks to be these players right now because that's what the segment's on. But I think ultimately at the end of the day, it's not going to suck to be these players. It's going to suck to be the PGA Tour. Mm.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be tough for them. Hey, I saw this yesterday and I was like, this is bonkers.
This is awesome.
So the Pirates.
Astro slides
there you go.
Into third. His phone. No, Astro slides into third. His phone comes out of his pocket. Now that's a first. Yeah. And there's Adam Hamery. Dude, your phone is down. Hey, right there.
I watched this video and I showed it to Scott and Jeremy in our show prep, and I went, I've never seen anything like this. Rodolfo Castro. By the way, this isn't like a multi-year all-star that everybody. This guy just got called up to the big leagues from the Pirates AAA team, and I guess he wanted to take all the pictures possible as Rodolfo Castro slid into third base for the Pittsburgh Pirates. His iPhone slides out of his back pocket and onto and right next to the base. He didn't notice it came out of his pants. The umpire noticed and was like, "What's up here, bro?" I mean, I've never seen something like this. If players have phones anywhere near a sideline, anywhere near the bench, anywhere near anything in any of these professional leagues, they are absolutely fined big time because it's just you don't do it. And so having your cell phone
you're
at work. It's not just, I mean, you're on the base path. The dude went out there with this phone in his back pocket, and I think, Scott, you're exactly right. What you said earlier, There's a reason he had that phone in his pocket.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is think about it, the Super Bowl. Like, magically, all the players have cameras right after the game's over. It's like they just win the Super Bowl and everybody's taking videos, they're taking pictures, they're capturing this moment.
You got to take in the moment.
And this guy, he gets called up to the majors. Boy, I wish I would have had a phone the first time I got to play in a professional. I totally do.
You would have trotted out on the field taking a selfie with the
taking
huddle?
Taking a selfie watching a guy intercept my first pass for a touchdown?
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be just priceless. Look at this.
You put it up on TikTok, that'd be millions of views. The point of view video of you going, oh, look, I just got picked off. Here he goes.
Well, but think about it. It's a great idea. Why don't they put GoPros on all these players?
They do in a lot of cases. You can see a lot of these.
Like put a GoPro on a batting helmet.
They did this for the All-Star game. They put it a lot more. They put it on the umpire's helmet. They had it on some of these guys. Do it all the time, though. But Rodolfo Castro, could you imagine being the first day you get called up and your freaking phone falls out of your pants?
They actually did this when I played in the World League. There's actually camera footage of me playing in the World League. I had a helmet cam.
I bet they were like, this is so stupid. Like, when they
At the time, it was – at the time, like – I remember because they put this big battery on your back, and it's like kind of cumbersome. It's like I don't need any extra weight here, and you know they throw extra 10 pounds, and it was like wow, I kind of noticed this. This is kind of weird. And I would imagine today they could have a different battery to it, but that's the coolest. Like that's awesome footage, and you can actually look it up. I believe on a YouTube, you can go down a rabbit hole looking at. World League helmet cam footage.
No, thanks. I mean, I'll find it after the show. I don't want to do it right now.
It's a thing. Anyways, I think this is hilarious.
This poor kid. Because he, you know, it was a very cringy moment because you watch this thing. He goes, Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, said, yeah, obviously something like that should, that's not something that should happen. But then I read this whole thing about how, he says, I remember just getting dressed, putting my pants on, getting something to eat, and using the bathroom before I went out to the dugout. Never did it cross my mind that I still had my cell phone on me. Bull. He was taking pictures inside the – I guarantee he was taking pictures there in the dugout.
But you look at our society today, we're all with our phones all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean – If you're without your phone, you're like, where's my phone? I lost my phone. I can't find my phone. Where's my phone?
If I had to slide into the studio every day, like this guy slid into third base, my phone would fall out of my pants. So we're the same. Me and Rodolfo Castro are the same.
I think you should have to slide into the studio.
Speaking of Castro.
And I'll take a video of that.
You'd just be a thud on the door. You know those cartoons where it's like the shape of the person who hits the door? Right. That'd be me outside. Yeah. You see my face outline in the metal door there. Speaking of Castro, I read this today.
Paul Feinbaum?
Paul Feinbaum. I'm disappointed that there is no longer the Bacardi Bowl.
Oh, why is that?
Because it is a bowl game that was held in Cuba between 1907.
Oh, really?
And 1915 for college football.
Oh, yeah.
And they played it in Havana, Cuba. The Bacardi Bowl was played in Havana for 7 years or 8 seasons.
I'd just be offended by that.
Oh, you would?
These have to be on college campuses.
Oh,
you can't have this
comes.
Game in Cuba. Cuba's so, like, you know, 1950s. Yeah, that's that. No.
Well, now, obviously, there'd be the trade embargo is. Okay, we're back to the point now where people aren't going back to Cuba yet.
Look,
you snuck in during that time.
No, they let me in for educational purposes. I got to go a couple
years.
You
went fishing.
I know, but I learned about the ecosystem.
You lied for your visa.
The lionfish almost destroyed.
Oh, it's invasive.
Almost destroyed. This invasive species almost destroyed the whole reef on the western coast of Cuba.
The lionfish is venomous, but it's good eating, they said.
Amazing eating.
All right.
They had to teach the sharks, the barracudas, and the groupers to eat the lionfish because they didn't know what it was.
Remember when you lied and your visa said you're going down there for educational purposes and it was really just your own personal fishing trip?
No, what I lied about was that I was a math teacher. Because the first year I told them I was a radio broadcaster and I had to go they took me through the secret interrogation.
My favorite part is if they would have asked you some math questions, you'd be like, listen, I don't have my graphing calculator with me right here. What math do you teach?
I went right through when I was a math teacher.
Oh, my
gosh. Welcome to Cuba. And when I was a broadcaster, they said, it's sports. Like, I'm not into, I don't care.
Even worse.
And they were like, no, what are you going to be broadcasting? What kind of equipment did you bring here?
We're not.
Who are you affiliated with?
Nope. Toast, buddy.
Thought I was doing some documentary.
I love it. Scott Mitchell, the math. Why didn't you at least put something down on a subject that you knew more about?
I thought it was the most nondescript, harmless thing I could possibly say.
I'm a math teacher. You doofus. I love it.
It was fourth grade math. Fourth grade math teacher.
They're like, what do you teach? You're like, long division. You want to do something? Nope. Head right through. Boom. Let's get going. All right.
I said, I teach the new math.
They're like, we're not familiar with it. And you're like, me neither, actually. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. When we return, more to go around the corner. Got our college football countdown. Cadillac owners, you may have changed over the time, but the luxury of a Cadillac has not. Come see the bold new lineup of Cadillac at Jerry Seiner Cadillac today. We'll come back. We've got that countdown. How many days till football returns to the state of Utah? College football right around the corner. We'll give you the exact countdown. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him.
The Utah Utes headed to the Rose Bowl for the first time in program history. Emphatic champions of the Pac-12 as they hammer the Ducks again.
For BYU and all of its fans, it was Big 12 weekend. And after a 12-year wait, it's a big win for the Cougs over their in-state rivals. 10 is not coming.
The final countdown. The final countdown.
Welcome back, everybody, to the College Football Countdown right here on the program. Giving you a daily update. Brought to you by waytoquit.org. Stop playing tobacco's game. Control your future. Get free nicotine patches and gum at waytoquit.org. It's waytoquit.org. Scott, here's what we have here.
What do we got?
17 days to Utah State hosting UConn.
What?
24 days to Utah and Florida and BYU and South Florida all facing one another.
So we started counting this down at 100 days.
That's crazy.
Doesn't it seem like it's just gone so fast?
Yeah, it was 100 to Utah State, and it was 107 to Utah and Florida. And there's that part of me, too, when we started the countdown, I went, that's a long time.
I know.
But it's not.
It's not.
Here we are, a couple of weeks away from everything getting kicked off for, it's just it's 2 weeks from this Friday or this Saturday, week zero. Love week zero. Yeah, there's not a lot of games between a lot of opponents that you're going to totally recognize, but that's what we like. We like to just have football
coming
back.
Just like that it started.
Warm me up. Let's get this thing going. Interesting story. If you want to go check this one out, this is one of those that when you look at some of these positions and which schools produce talent, ESPN did this full list of kind of where the best, you know, where it shakes out the best for some of these teams that, you know, BYU used to be for sure, the quarterback you, right? And now it's kind of interesting because – tight end university is looked at, and I don't know how Utah's not really on the list. Miami, Iowa, Stanford, Florida, Missouri. Those are your top five tight end schools according to this list. Utah loses out, I guess, to Stanford on the Pac-12 side of things. For this year, it's not even close, though. The best tight end group in all the Pac-12 and maybe in the country is at Utah. But in the non-Power 5 division of this thing, BYU ranks as the best non-Power 5 team on this list for tight ends. Why is it that tight ends are suddenly being developed in Utah and at BYU? I mean, BYU's had a long list of pretty good tight ends, and Utah over the last 8 years has been the same. How is it that everybody suddenly is showing up? And they're two different offenses too, Scott. So why is it that tight end is becoming such a big deal here in the state of Utah?
Well, at BYU, it's traditionally been. I mean, you go back, Clay Brown, Gordon Hudson,
yeah.
back in that era, and David Mills, and then you have Dennis Pitta, and Chris Smith was a great tight end at BYU. And
you're missing. I know I'm missing a bunch. Chad Lewis, man, come on.
Of course, Chad Lewis, and I mean a lot of really, really good tight ends.
To Amili, former Seahawks. Let's go.
So BYU and the tight end, that was always a part of their offense, and you get. What happens is you get these players that are somewhat athletic and create a mismatch, and all of those tight ends that I listed at BYU are very athletic and very good at actually getting down the field, catching pass and get open. And a lot of times you have that. Whereas at Utah's been such a good running team, right? So it's a Kyle Whittingham running team, and you can really play in it. Kind of goes hand in hand. Play action a lot of times to a tight end because the linebackers are the ones that are most affected by play action, and that creates more holes. And Utah's been very effective in that in recent years in play action and then finding tight ends on certain routes, and that they've been really good at it. But, you know, Utah, I think right now has just developed this beautiful set of tight ends, and there's – it's a deep room. I mean, there's guys – that are, we don't know their names
that
yet.
That we're going to get to know over the next couple seasons.
We're going to get to know. Going to be as good as the ones they have right now.
So, kicker Utah found itself at number 4 on the list of places that produce kickers.
See, and you don't want to be on that list.
Well, then you're going to love the next one. Punter U, they're number 2 on the list behind Texas A&M, which is interesting because I don't think the last couple of years special teams have been hit and miss for the
Sketchy.
Utes.
Here's the deal with Punter U, okay? You don't want to be Punter U.
Well, here are the teams on it. Texas A&M, Utah, Tennessee, Cal, and Georgia. Do you think any one of those teams, like, you don't want to be associated with Cal, Georgia Tech, and Tennessee. Maybe Texas A&M, but interestingly enough, the top kicking schools, too, are not, you're not really
Punting that. Means your offense stinks. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Punting means you have a defensive-minded coach who says, you know, we're okay, let's punt the ball, and we'll play to our defense. We're going to play the field position game the whole way because, you know, heaven forbid we could actually move the ball down the field and change it that way. We're going to run the ball, and then we're going to punt.
Well, so regionally, BYU and Utah are both considered kind of linebacker powers. Nationally, they're both still – I mean, Utah, I think, is like 35, and BYU is like 40, I think, on the list. But regionally, they're still considered, you know, these powers at linebacker and also the offensive line. They've been able to produce some really good offensive
The one that
linemen.
Surprises me for Utah is safeties. That
Not high on the higher.
No,
on the list,
I mean they've got some great players in the Julian Blackman and Marcus Williams and Marquise Blair.
Well, but you think
all,
too?
Man, those guys are great safeties. Recently in the NFL, yeah. And Eric Weddle and. And they've also started to get defensive backs as well.
I thought it was pretty low to put them down the list for linebackers, right? Where you're like they produce really really good linebackers, whole linebacking cores that are just awesome.
And D line was a big one too, and that's not
and they're not on the list with that either. All right. Let's take the break. We'll come back. We've got more to go around the corner here on the program. When we do come back. We've got ourselves an interesting look into the Pac-12 from John Wilner, who ranks the best players, top 10 players in the entire Pac-12, top 10 players in all of the Pac-12. And also, he revealed his AP top 25 list. We'll see if any of that's going to actually stick next week when the new AP poll comes out. That's what I was going to ask Mitch Harper, where he thought BYU was going to be on the – I'm going to text him. I'm going to make him give me that answer before we get back – or after we get back on the break. Miles joining us. From Wasatch Medical Clinic all afternoon. And listen, Miles, if you're talking with us, that means that there may be a couple of souls out there who are going, you know what, I'm finally going to do it. And that's what we're hoping, that people can talk about ED, open up about how big of a deal this is to be able to talk about with the loves of their lives.
Well, it's right, guys. I mean, let's tip it. Maybe you're on the fence. So let's go over this one more time for everybody listening. We have a pain-free, non-invasive, recovery time free way to treat your ED. Let's go over what we've dealt with in the past. We've dealt with the pill, lots of side effects. You're taking it for life. It only masks the symptoms. Surgery, 4 to 6 week recovery time, guys, and surgery, and then needles and injections. Wouldn't you rather choose the pain-free option? To remind you how it works, it's a technology, a little machine that sits right on the skin. Gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, helping them to expand, oftentimes repair themselves. So we treat the root cause of ED without the pill. You get your spontaneity back. You get your love life back. You get your confidence back. All pain-free.
Yeah, and it's not just Wasatch Medical Clinic talking about this. If you go to wasatchmedicalclinic.com, you can actually see in the neighborhood of 60 clinical studies talking about this technology and its effectiveness. What can you tell us about some of those studies?
Well, those studies are placebo-controlled, which I think is important as well. So it's a double. They're mostly double-blind studies. The likes of Cambridge have looked at this. Cleveland Clinic has looked at this. This technology actually didn't start out to treat ED. But it was so successful that they started reviewing these as an ED treatment, and they're all calling it safe and effective. Some are saying that it should be the new standard of care for treatment.
If people are listening right now and Miles is on the radio waves with us, that means there is a deal to be had. Miles brings the free, and he brings a lot of it, and today is no different. In fact, it may be more free than we've done in a long time. So what do you have for the guys who are listening who want to take that leap and make the phone call?
Make today the day, guys. You have nothing to lose with this deal I'm about to give you. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound that other competitors charge for is free. An additional gift just for coming in that guys love, that's free as well. But if you call today and we treat you, we're going to include tune-up treatments. If for any reason your results start to fade over time, you come back in, we'll retreat you for free. You can leave your wallet at home, but pick up the phone, change the way you're thinking about treating ED, and call us right now.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. WasatchMedicalClinic.com is the website. You can make an appointment right there online. It's easy enough for you. WasatchMedicalClinic.com, 801-901-8000. Miles, we'll chat with you later.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There you go. We'll take the break. We'll come back. When we return, the cut's around the corner. We're going to chat a little bit about who the top 10 players in all the Pac-12 are, and then we're going to go through John Wilner's top 25 AP poll, as he put it. For this coming weekend as a voter in the AP. We'll come back. More to go. Unravel continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by G2G Bars. All right, welcome back. It's Unravel 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. You heard the voice. It's the NFL Roundup, which means, of course, we jump into a lot of stories about, you guessed it, the NFL. Scott, any guesses on this video game music? It's kind of a remix.
Is this Super Mario Brothers?
No, it's same era.
You all just shake your heads at me like...
No, I was trying to not be...
You do not know your video games.
Jeremy definitely judged you. I tried to be understanding. Like... I knew you had.
Hey, what is this? Got to be Mario Brothers.
It's very. It's in the same era, same vein.
Still don't know.
Yeah,
it. Turn it up. It's not going to help me. It's like talking a little bit louder. What video game is this from in the 1990s?
My high school football coach. We'd have these kids from other countries that would come out, and he'd always be like, "This is the offense right here," and you're like. Coach, you're yelling, and he definitely doesn't understand you. He's so dumb. It's from The Legend of Zelda. It's from Zelda.
Who is that?
You don't know Zelda?
No.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Was that a cool game?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know.
It wasn't a big game, though.
It wasn't. No, it was big.
It was big.
It was big.
But it wasn't Mario Brothers. It
certainly wasn't Mario Brothers.
It wasn't Pac-Man.
It wasn't my favorite either.
It wasn't Ms. Pac-Man either.
Now we're going back to the old Atari.
How about Asteroids?
Yeah, you're really going back. Pong was the best, wasn't it?
I had Space Invaders.
You were like the... Were you ever the NFL guy who had arcade games in your basement?
Yeah, kind of.
You did? Okay. See, I would have got... I think Golden Tee is one that they sell now. You can get Golden Tee. That's one of my favorite arcade games of all time. It's a golf one.
I had a cabin. And the cabin in the downstairs had all of them.
Yeah. See? Then you were. In my third home, Buffy!
Well, that was just the
cabin.
Put
the arcade games in the third home.
That was just the cabin.
Yeah, that's not even a third home. It's a cabin. Okay, here we go. NFL roundup, Scott, looks like this. Right off the bat, the Browns are going to schedule a start for Deshaun Watson in their preseason opener, according to them. Hey, it's a good time to get it because apparently since he's not going to be playing the first six games, might be a nice time to roll out your quarterback and
get it while the getting's good because he's going to be gone for a long time.
He gone. Do you think it's going to be do you think they're going to end up? I mean, is there going to be any traction? Do you think that the players' union is going to fight for Deshaun Watson to keep just that six games? Because Goodell said today that they have enough evidence for a year. He feels that the evidence points that it's a year suspension. But well, but in these kind of a case, is the player association like, are they obligated to say we are fighting for this guy to be able to play more, even though
no matter
it's
what
a shady situation?
Yeah, no matter what decision or suspension happens, the NFLPA always fights it.
Always fights it.
It's the NFLPA is in the back pocket of the NFL, just so we're clear. They may act like they're in favor of the players, but they're really not. And really what it is, it's like, look, y'all are making a lot of money. Let's keep peace. Let's keep happiness. Demaryius Smith, who is the Players Association president, makes a lot of money. And so a lot of this and has a lot of power.
When you say makes a lot of money, what is it then?
Millions.
Okay.
A year.
I mean, if the commissioner's making $70 million, then maybe the Players Association president should get
I don't think he's making
a couple of those.
But he's making a lot. And so there's never really a strength position for the Players Association. There just isn't. It's never been that way. It probably never will be just because careers. It may change a little bit just because so many more players are playing longer now,
yeah.
And that helps. But they'll you know what? Deshaun Watson's going to get a longer suspension. The NFLPA is going to appeal it. And who knows? It may go to a certain point. But Deshaun Watson's probably not going to play a whole lot this season no matter what.
There's going to be some –
except for the preseason.
Right. There's going to be some Browns fans with his jersey on. They're going to be pumping it up, getting excited for him.
The reality is in a year, it'll all be gone. It'll go away. People will totally forget about it. They're kind of forgetting about it now.
Yeah.
I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not saying advocating or whatever. It's just the reality of how
things are. They don't want to have their football interrupted with this anyway.
No.
What's wild about it is we'll just say, hey, keep the football coming.
Yeah. Take your suspension, move on, and when you come back, okay, great.
Hey, let's stay in the state of Ohio if we're talking about professional football teams. Let's talk about a franchise you played for, Scott, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes.
Well, they're the Bengals now because they went to the Super Bowl last year. Mike Brown, who took over for his dad, Paul Brown, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Brown Stadium is now no longer going to be called Paul Brown Stadium. It's going to be called Paycor.com Stadium.
Yes.
Now, this is my favorite part about when people have passed away, and we go, they would have wanted it this way, right? Because Mike Brown says this. Mike Brown's comment on the losing of his father's name off of the team stadium, because it's Paul Brown Stadium forever, right?
Yeah.
This is a move that I think my father would have agreed to. He was always do what's best for the football team type of a mentality.
Well, here's the thing. The Bengals, probably no one wanted to put their name on the stadium before last year. It's like, you call it whatever you want. You call it Mickey Mouse's stadium for all
you
we
know
care.
Disney,
doesn't matter.
Disney would pay a ton. Listen,
finally they're good enough. Someone goes, you know what? I want to be associated with that winner right there.
Well, people want to be associated with Joe Burrow. They want to be associated with
the
Bengals.
We want to call it Joe Burrow Stadium?
I mean, at some point, maybe it will be, you know, the field, you know. I'm going to say, okay, worst stadium. The thing is we got really spoiled here, right? The Delta Center was a perfect name for a place.
Yeah.
I thought that I didn't even when I was a kid.
You
I didn't,
thought that's the name of
yes,
it. Was
I didn't,
you didn't think it was like Delta Airlines.
I didn't
Airlines.
Think it was Delta it was, Airlines when I was a kid. You know, you're just like it's the Delta Center. Like, it's the hub, man.
Yes,
and you know, there's
Delta Force.
And then when it turned into Energy Solutions, everyone's kind of like,
it's like Energy Solutions.
Okay,
it's a company out in the desert.
Vivint Smart Home Arena is fine. Vivint Arena is fine. We know what Vivint is. Fine. But,
well, Vivint Smart Home.
Yeah, the full thing is
that's,
tough.
That's a lot.
I love when teams go, say the full name of the stadium every time you mention it. It's like, okay, we're going to shorten it as much as we want. Paycor is going to be called like the PC or something like that, right?
I wonder if college football stadiums are going to get changed. Like, I mean, you think of Rice-Eccles Stadium?
Like if they would sell their branding for it?
Well, I guess
it
they technically are.
Yeah, it's Ken Garf red zone.
Because those people are paid a lot of money to put their name on it. So it's probably a similar deal.
I think that it's
LaVell didn't pay any money to put his name on LaVell Edwards Stadium.
He paid a lot, though.
Paid a price.
Yeah. I mean, but you could see it turn into LaVell Edwards Field at, Zions Bank Stadium
that's
something like that, right?
What we used to say when I was in high school.
What?
Pay the price to get to Rice.
Oh.
Because it was Rice Stadium.
Rice Stadium back then, yeah.
Yeah, you got to pay the price to get to Rice.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the price was. because it took me till, my last.
Sure.
If I'd have known that there, maybe I could have put something on layaway. Yeah.
I think the worst name in, I think Fruit Smoothie Center or whatever. What is it called? Oh, King. Smoothie King. My kid loves.
Who's that?
It's where the Pelicans play.
Pelicans?
Down in New Orleans.
In New Orleans?
Yeah. They play at the Smoothie King.
Smoothie King. That sounds like an ABA.
I know.
An ABA.
Listen.
Arena.
It's fine.
Wait, what's the.
What's our show? What is our show? Unrivaled, brought to you by G2G.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Everybody's for sale, okay? Including Scott Mitchell.
Yeah.
All right. Next
sell
up.
Sell me cheap for G2G bars.
You're like, I'll take, just give me the bars, man.
I think I've decided that the peanut butter chocolate or peanut butter jelly is my favorite.
Peanut butter and jelly one?
Mm-hmm.
I told you about it yesterday.
Yeah.
It'll change. Like every other day you'll go, oh, no, and this one's my new favorite one. That's part of the deal. You saw that Mekhi Becton, the left tackle for Zach Wilson, out for the season with knee trouble. That's a massive blow because everything had kind of been coming together for Zach Wilson. It's just another thing that I think people look at and go, is this kid going to be okay? I mean, this is a Pro Bowl type blindside player that is going to be protecting your franchise there. It's a tough loss for the Jets.
Well, having depth is such a key part to any team having success, including even in the NFL. And so you're going to have injuries. You're going to have fatigue. You're going to have things happen during the year. Unfortunately, it's early, but fortunately, it's early because then you have time to, the preseason's just barely getting started. So there's time for a guy to step in, get the reps, get up to speed, and hopefully you have a guy, or maybe you need to go out and get a guy that may be a better fit than maybe what you have right now.
Fracture.
If it happens like 4 or 5 games into the season, and it's not a good thing no matter what, but there's still time to mitigate a loss.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm hoping that it happens because I want there to be no excuses.
Right.
Well, he didn't have the line or whatever. I want there to just be.
Is he going to do it or is he not?
Yeah, and then we'll be able to know if he's doing it or not. All right.
Yeah. Well, he's doing it.
He's doing it. Move on.
A lot of different ways.
Move on. Family show, Scott. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. We have our 2-minute drill around the corner. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, and the DuckTales theme, Scott. Did you ever watch, did your kids ever watch the DuckTales? Ever, does it sound familiar to you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah? I lost a bet to one of my kids. This was the penance. They said, you got, and I was like, all right, I'll let you pick whatever song you want for me to play the intro on one of our, if you win this bet. It was about kicking a football. And he made a field goal, and I said, okay. And he goes, you got to play DuckTales. He thought it was going to be really embarrassing. I love that song. Love that thing, man. There you go. Hey, that's a blast from the past right there, Scott.
Boy, it just sends chills down my spine.
Listen, you were throwing footballs up at the University of Utah and maybe your first couple years at the Miami Dolphins. I was sitting on my couch eating Cheez-Its, getting fat, and watching DuckTales as like a 12, 13-year-old, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yeah. Those
in
Disney.
In your Batman.
Oh, yeah. Those Disney
underwear.
Those Disney afternoons, man.
Yeah.
And then, I grew up and started watching. Jeremy, this probably speaks to Jeremy's people. I was at Saved by the Bell. Took in a lot of Saved by the Bell after
school. Now, here's a a guilty pleasure of mine.
Oh, okay.
I actually watched Saved by the Bell.
See now?
As an adult.
Oh, but that's now I'm a little more creepy.
Well, a younger adult, but I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny.
Well, when you know that, like, when you know that Jesse Spano is actually played by a 19-year-old or a 22-year-old.
Right. See, I knew that.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah.
Mark Paul Gosselaar. You got to have three names to be a murderer and to be a childhood star.
Yes. So, you know why? You know why the criminals have three names?
Why?
The information that the media gets is from off of a police report,
right?
So when they book someone in jail,
they're full on reading their like license.
John Wayne Gacy,
right?
Lee Harvey Oswald,
yeah.
That's how they're booked.
Assassinated. We assassinated him. The last death penalty guy in Utah. He was definitely a three namer.
Yes. Who was it? Yeah. Well, there's Gary Gilmore. You see, all he must have been is Gary.
He wasn't cool enough. Wasn't good enough. Yeah, well, I'm going to see here. Hold on.
I literally read that fact like
'cause you're like,
2 days ago.
Why do we do this? Yeah, why do we
do
this?
That's why it's done.
Because they did the firing squad thing. Remember this? Because I think that they did, I don't know if there was, I can't remember his name. But either way, does Utah still use the – no, they don't use the – boy, we're going down a rabbit hole here, Scott. You know what?
Lethal injection is, I think, the preferred –
it's kind of the preferred thing. Yeah. But see, I really do. It was a mess because the guy said, I'm doing the firing squad. And it was like and they went through with it. They were like, we're going to do this thing.
When Lincoln was killed in 1865,
yeah,
right, they hung all the conspirators. So – Mary Sriracha, I think, is what.
Really?
Surratt.
Sriracha. Very different. Sriracha. Oh my gosh. I love this.
Mary Jane Sriracha.
Spicy attitude.
There
my
was
goodness.
A lot of like upheaval about them actually hanging a woman.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I believe it was the last public execution by hanging.
Yeah.
That
could have been
that happened.
I think, yeah, we kind of have come a long way. All right,
but could you imagine, like, public?
No, and people out in like, front of everyone. It was almost an entertainment situation. Yeah. It's like it's their reality TV. Yeah. All right, Scott. You know what? Let's get away from death penalty talk. Some hot death penalty talk, and get straight to
three names.
And three names. Let's get straight to this music that, of course, brings us into the 2-minute drill. Please explain what the 2-minute drill is.
Okay, late in the football game, you're going on the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. And you don't have a lot of time, so you hurry our show. Same way, still got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, go home happy with a trophy, because everyone gets a participation trophy these days, with a plethora of desserts, which include chocolate souffle from France, flan from Spain, key lime pie from Florida, gelato from Italy, and, of course, baklava from...
Yeah.
Greece.
Yeah. All right. First up, Scott, on the old 2-minute drill here. I saw this story and I thought, oh, we got to chat about this. And sometimes you go, I can't put it in the full show and feel good about it. I'm going to put this thing in the 2-minute drill. Shohei Ohtani has now joined Babe Ruth as the only players in Major League Baseball history to have at least 10 home runs and 10 wins in the same season. 10
Incredible.
Wins, of course, as a starting pitcher. The thing is like, I mean, we're more than halfway through the season, but I mean, it's just, I think that we're watching a guy who is maybe the most important baseball player in a long, long time on the same team of a guy, by the way, who's one of the other more important baseball players, at least one of the best players we've seen in a long time with Mike Trout. But Shohei Ohtani, we don't talk about him enough. And I don't know if it's because he's not American, so it's not easy. It's an easy one to just be like, yeah. Or baseball just has fallen out of the graces of as the America's pastime. But Shohei Ohtani is doing an insane thing, and we are not recognizing it enough.
Well, and I wonder too if
they were talking about trading him. They're so stupid.
Well, yeah, and I wonder too if it's been this attitude of, well, he'll eventually pick one or the other. Like, he can't continue to do both and do them at the high level. So he's either going to be a pitcher or he's going to be a hitter.
The guy throws 100 and he hits the ball 450 feet.
You know, I thought back to Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders. Like, that, you kind of hoped for that. But they eventually said, I got to do one or the other.
And we all
kind of looked
at it and said,
kind of,
can't do both, man.
But wouldn't it be amazing to have an athlete do that, play two sports,
we
and do it for a whole entire career? And I think people are just
feel like, well, you just have to do one thing and that's it. That's just the way it is. And until someone comes along and says, no, there's actually a better way. And, you know, it might be interesting to see if there are more players who grow up or continue to hold on to playing two positions in baseball. So what if he can do both? And he does them great. Let him do
one. I think one that's one of the more wild two-sport athlete situations when Charlie Ward won the Heisman Trophy at Florida State.
Yes.
And then he's all, anyway, on to basketball.
Yes.
And you go, dude. And he was a pretty good professional basketball player.
Charlie Ward might be like a Patrick Mahomes or a Kyler Murray or a guy who plays and plays well in the NFL.
But he did the other
today.
One. But he did. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's exactly right.
Like, I mean, if he'd have gone on in today's NFL,
the game wasn't.
He probably would be playing. He probably would have played
totally true
football instead of basketball.
And you know what? The game hadn't evolved to that point, right? And he recognized that and went, yeah. Well, there's no. The best I'm going to be is in basketball as a pro.
And you know what that really is? We're just lazy. because coaches go, well, this is what I know, and I'm not going to try to change it. I'm not going to get innovative. I'm going to stick with, you know, kind of a tried and true and tested theory here. And I think Andy Reid kind of evolved as a coach when he said, man, Patrick Mahomes does things maybe a little bit differently, and I'm willing to kind of bend on some of these things that I've really believed in. And it's worked out well for it.
All right, there it is. We got more to go around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Scott, you willing to stick around for more show?
Sure.
Okay. Stay right here with us on Rival Continues, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Is that show, all right?
On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Brought to you by G2G Bars. Try one today. Find one in your local refrigerated section at your local grocers or in your convenience store of your choice. Get them at Maverick. Get them at Holiday Oil. They're the best. I'm going to call an audible here. I saw this and I was a little bit bummed. And you know, we were talking about history, right? We're talking about stuff that's, I don't know, in terms of like places that you'd want to see a game or whatever, the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds are going to play at the in the Field of Dreams game this Thursday. That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you saw this last year, the Yankees, I think, were walked off. Were they walked off or they walked off somebody? I think the White Sox walked off the Yankees.
Kind of had to have the White Sox in that
right.
First game.
And they're at Field of Dreams and they're wearing the old school jerseys and stuff. A very, very cool moment, by the way. And I've been.
Oh,
to this.
It's just another field.
Oh,
it's just that they need to be. They need to be playing in the major league stadiums, not some cornfield in Iowa.
You know what's funny is that I went to Dyersville and I've been to this place,
and it's a piece of crap. So overrated.
I'm so mad. This is based off of Scott. It's based off of me saying that I don't really care to see Notre Dame in Lambeau Field because I don't really care about it. And now he's giving it right back to me. But apparently people feel the same way because. The ownership group that controls that field, where the field is now, is not going to bring the ball or not going to bring the game back for next season.
Oh,
yeah,
no attendance.
No. They're packing the thing because you can't get that many people in there anyway. What's his name? The Big Hurt, Frank Thomas. He is actually part of the complex's ownership group, and he said it's a lot going on. They don't want to come back if the stadium's not prepared. And we feel like that the stadium may be just a little bit below major league standards currently.
Oh.
They want to make some improvements.
But it's such an iconic place.
Oh, it's Tim Anderson. He walked it off last year. It's
so,
a really
so
cool
meaningful.
Place. Well, obviously not that much. By the way, it's in a movie. It's not like a real.
I got a place for him to play. Play their baseball game in Lambeau Field.
Lambeau Field.
That's right.
The frozen baseball tundra of Lambeau Field.
I don't think you could dimensionally get a baseball field in Lambeau.
Why not?
It's too cockeyed.
Okay.
Yeah. You'd have a short fence somewhere. Super short.
That's okay. You can do it.
Yeah.
I know. It's funny because they actually, I mean, this is a movie. This is a fictional, you know, book and movie set, basically.
Life imitates art.
I know.
It was really cool last year, and I don't think you're not going to be able to improve. The Cubs are going to beat the Reds by like 14 runs, and it's not going to be very interesting this year. And then you're going to go, yeah, I don't really care if we see this one. All right. For Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, you can listen to the podcast anywhere podcasts are found if you missed anything on the show. Jeremy, our producer, tip of the cap to you, and we're going to move on here. We'll be back again. Another edition of Unrivaled tomorrow on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.